Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A warmer believer, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg E. Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast, and we've got a tremendous podcast for you. It's in the second segment. One of our good friends from EchecksCBB who's doing an absolutely amazing work taking a look all offseason long at these moves. That'd be Brian Rolfe. He is going to be joining me. He also does a podcast of his own, the Hope and Rolfe podcast, which you're able to find that podcast wherever you get this fine one. We're going to be taking a look in the second segment at who he winds up having number one as he's going to be making the case for North Carolina coming into the season. Obviously, got a little bit of question mark as to whether or not they're going to be getting Pete Nance, but we're going to be diving into that. Also going to be talking about, shall we say, the lack of moves that are happening out there in the Pac-12 with regards to the transfer portal, where Arizona winds up fitting into the hierarchy of the Pac-12 with not having Dallin Terry coming back in the fold. What to expect out of some of the top Big Ten teams this season? Can Illinois be able to take that leap up? Can it be Indiana that winds up being that number one team, and what's all been happening out there? So we're going to have a great chat with Brian in the second segment, and then in the final segment, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a roundup as to everything that we wound up seeing in college basketball really over the last 48 hours since we wound up having the interview, taking a look at the Big East with our good friend John Fanta. Also with Brian, we're going to take a little bit of a look at the Big 12 as well, and we're starting to project forward a little bit more on this podcast. I've got my America East Conference preview that's going to be coming up within the next 48 hours. I plan on having it tomorrow. If it's not happening tomorrow, it'll be up in the next 48 hours. So we are starting to get set with all these conference previews. I'm going to be doing one for all 32 conferences. So if you have a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you for this podcast, for either the conference previews or the non-conference previews podcast moving forward, you got one or two ways we'll throw those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at gunit_81. Keep in mind, letters CM. Name does not matter, so as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Really didn't wind up getting in any Twitter questions today, but we had a tremendous chat with our good friend Brian. So we're going to be having that for you guys next, right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now a part of the Beeson Family Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoopspears, and now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. And great to be joined by our guest, as Brian Ralph does absolutely terrific work over there at HeatCheckCBB. He is the lead writer for them, and he also does a great job with the Open Rough podcast. You're able to catch that podcast wherever you find this one. The gentlemen over there at HeatCheckCBB, they do a great job all 12 months out of the year looking at college basketball, and to be able to follow their network, that is at HeatCheckCBB. And for our guest, Brian Ralph, as at B Ralph, R-A-U-F on that last name, then the numbers 3 and 3. And Brian, great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, and I do appreciate the fact that now it seems like we're able to hone in a little bit more on these rosters. It was interesting looking at things in April and May because it almost felt like a defeatist effort trying to take a look at who some of the top teams in college basketball were going to be or not, because a lot of it was dependent upon the transfer portal and these NBA draft decisions. Now we've still got a few transfers out there that are looking to make their decisions, but most of these guys, they have made theirs. And I do think that it's interesting taking a look at the landscape of college basketball now, because out of all the conferences, I feel like the Big East did the best job of all of them. But if I'm looking at the best conference right now, I still default to the Big 12 and all that they've done.
Oh, yeah. And the Big 12 is going to be that way. The Big 12 may have been that way without some of the transfers that they got. But Kansas is going to be very strong again. Baylor is going to be very strong again. Texas, TCU is going to be preseason top 15 as well. You're looking at a league that should send 6 to 7 teams to the NCAA tournament again. 60-70% of your league. That's really not a bad thing. And you mentioned the Big East, done a great job in the transfer portal after doing, I think, the best job of any conference in the coaching carousel, as well as some of those hires that they are able to make. Big East has certainly set itself up for a strong future.
Oh, I'm right there with you. I think that's going to be another big year out there, especially with Jalen Wilson returning to Kansas. I do think that that is going to be really interesting to take a look at Texas Tech. They obviously did a solid job of being able to revamp as well. They do wind up losing TJ Shannon, but they wind up bringing in Fadha Zamek. So they're once again going to be very strong. But I take a look at the top teams out there in college basketball, and in my top three, I don't have a single team from the Big East. I don't have a single team in the Big 12. Right now, my top two, in my opinion, that would be Gonzaga and Houston. I default a little bit more to Gonzaga. I'm not sure where you stand on that, but I think that those are the top two teams. And then I think it's really interesting at number three. Right now, I'd be willing to go with UNC, but I do think a little bit of it depends upon some of these late transfers like Pete Nance and company, if they wind up going to an already strong program.
You mentioned no Big 12 team, the future Big 12 team, with Houston. Texas and Oklahoma obviously leaving for the SEC. Some concerns about the viability of the Big 12 moving forward. I think the Big 12 is actually going to be a stronger basketball conference moving forward, bringing in a program like Houston, the way that's clicking, the way BYU has been running under Mark Pope. Cincinnati as a program is a top 25 program all time. Big 12 fans, it's only going to get even better on the basketball side of things when those teams join. I do think there's a clear-cut top three. And I think you could argue for Houston, you could argue for Gonzaga, you could argue for UNC being the top spot. I think there are legitimate arguments made for any of those three, but that's a clear top three in my mind. I have UNC ahead of those. I think we can't discount the run that they went on last year. That wasn't just a March run. It was a run that went back to about mid-January. And from that point on, they were playing like a top 10 team in the country last season. Brady Manek obviously is not back and played a huge role in what they did offensively last year. Puff Johnson is capable of stepping into that role, even if they don't get Pete Nance. We saw that in the Final Four. He was one of the better defenders. They had their best defensive lineups when Puff Johnson was on the floor. So I think UNC, what they had returning, I'm a believer in that turnaround they had last year, that it wasn't just a flash in the pan. I think they continue that. But obviously Gonzaga brings back a ton as well. Houston brings back pretty much everybody, or at least a good portion of the core from the team that nearly made the Final Four last year. And then they get their two top scorers back as well, who did not play during that run or most of last season. So I think any of those three, you can make a legitimate case for being number one. I personally go with UNC. But if you have one of those three, you're not wrong.
Yeah, I think that it's going to be really interesting to take a look at those top teams moving forward. And I mean, pretty much all those teams, they wound up having big NBA draft decisions that wound up going their way. North Carolina, they return darn near everyone. Gonzaga, they get back Rasier Bolton. They bring in Julian Strother once again. Drew Timmy winds up coming back. And then Malachi Smith winds up being a big transfer portal guy. That winds up going to them, as we do with Brian Rafa of HXCBB joining me on the podcast. And no doubt, all three of those schools, I would say, were winners. I mean, Houston, they were hoping to get Kenny Lofton, but he would have had to wind up going out of the NBA draft, and then he would have had to transfer over to Houston as well. So even though it did look like if he would have returned to school, It probably would have been a case in which he would have went to Houston. It's still one of those things in which it's never like they wound up having him to start with. But I take a look at the schools that they wound up having the most rough off seasons, and I would have to say Arizona's right towards the top of the list. They did wind up bringing in a transfer on Thursday. It's Cedric Henderson Jr., guy from Campbell, that should be able to give them a couple minutes out there in the backcourt, but certainly not going to be a replacement to what Dallin Terry was able to bring to the table. That was relatively rough for them. You figured Ben Mathurin and Christian Coloco were both going to be gone. Those, in my opinion, just weren't necessarily too big of surprises, but a little bit surprising that Arizona hasn't done more in the transfer portal. And with Arizona as well, I think it's fair to say the entire Pac-12 has really been asleep at the wheel with regards to this entire transfer portal period.
They have. Now, Dallin Terry did not give Arizona a ton of time because that was a late decision. And I do think that up until he made his decision, they were maybe not expecting he would return, but hopeful that he would return. You know, there was no indication when he left that he was going to be a surefire first-round pick like he seems to be now. He's been rising up draft boards very quickly since he entered the draft. They like his potential. All the reasons we were excited about him going back to Arizona this coming season is why NBA teams love him, right? He's a giant guard. He showed flashes, great all-around game. He just has to put it together. Arizona was hoping he could be that kind of connector between the first year and the future eras, their future iteration to the Tommy Lloyd era, hoping he could be that guy that helped carry them through this transition period. He was going to be the go-to guy. He could have been an All-American, maybe the best player in the Pac-12. He had that kind of potential. But NBA teams saw that too. And he has an infectious, intriguing personality that gets people to kind of radiate towards him. The NBA teams fell in love with that, fell in love with the potential, figured they could help develop him in the NBA, trying to get their hands on him early as opposed to him returning to school. So that set Arizona back. I still think they're going to be a top 25 team. Tommy Lloyd is too good of a coach. And there is still some good talent on that roster, but I don't think they're the Pac-12 favorites like they would have been if Terry had returned.
Yep, I take a look at the Pac-12, and once again, it is probably going to be a lot of those top teams. I think that Oregon is going to be a little bit better. They're one of the few teams that has done something in the transfer portal, and all their NBA draft decisions wind up going their way with Will Richardson along with Quincy Carrier coming back, and then you wind up bringing in Jermaine Cousinard. I don't think he winds up having a massive impact on the scene, but at the same time, should be able to fortify that backcourt a little bit, especially with them losing Davion Harmon in the transfer portal. So I do think that they're going to be solid. Obviously, you've got the two Los Angeles schools that will still be relatively solid as well. So I think that it's interesting to take a look at the Pac-12. And when it comes to Big Ten, a lot of the biggest additions with regards to this conference have really just been in guys returning, because with Michigan, they didn't have any of their NBA draft decisions go their way, but they do wind up bringing back Hunter Dickinson. Indiana last year was really hitting the transfer portal hard and heavy. They have not done that this offseason, but you wind up bringing back Trace Jackson Davis, a guy that many people think is going to be a McDonald's All-American. Not sure if I can buy into them being the number one team out there in the Big Ten. Certainly, I'm more than willing to put them in my top three, though, just because I do take a look at Illinois, and they've really been that one team that has stood out to me, and they've done quite a bit in the transfer portal. They and Ohio have done a solid job being able to bring in some talent. I don't know how much it's going to yield Ohio State, because you do wind up losing E.J. Liddell, but still, I give them a little bit of credit. But I think that it's just interesting to take a look at the landscape of the Big Ten, because I feel like out of all the conferences in the country, they've taken the biggest step back from last year to this year, with most of their additions just really being guys coming back.
I agree. And they were an older league last year. It's just kind of time for them to cycle down a little bit. Ohio State, too. At the end of the season, they were expecting Malachi Branham to leave because of the way he had been playing. But in terms of roster building and building your program, they had not planned on him being a one-and-done type guy. They're happy he turned into that because of the way he played for them, obviously. But that has set that program back a little bit as well. Illinois has done a great job. This was going to be a transition year for them. They took some gambles, though, in the transfer portal. You know, Tarrant Shannon is a good player, but he was never the kind of put the team on my back, be the guy you need me to be offensive player for Texas Tech that I think Illinois fans are hoping he'll be. You got Matthew Meyer in there as well. He was supposed to have a breakout year last year for Baylor. Didn't really, was still in a supporting role, and Illinois certainly needs guys in a supporting role, but I think for Illinois to continue to be at the top of the Big Ten and compete for a Big Ten title, you need both of those guys to hit and be the guys we thought they would be last year. And they were not. They're both very good players, and maybe a change of scenery will help both of them. Something I'm just a little cautious about. And I'm with you on Indiana, where I understand the excitement because you got these guys returning. But this core, we'll say that the Trace Jackson Davis core, while they're returning and are great, they haven't necessarily shown us anything the last 2 years that would give us a ton of confidence in them. Right? They were bubble team 2 years ago that fell apart down the stretch, missed the tournament. Were bubble team this past year, would have missed the tournament again had they not beat Michigan in the opening round of the Big Ten tournament, and then they get in the tournament, win a first four game against the Wyoming team that had a really bad performance. And a lot of that, too, was spurred on by Xavier Johnson having an incredible month of March. He played at a really high level, but he had not been that guy earlier in the season, and he had not been that guy his first 2 years at Pitt. So you're banking on him carrying that play over full time. I'm just not convinced that's who he is. I am more in line of thinking that I think Indiana is more likely to be back in the bubble conversation than they are to be in the Big Ten title hunt. I just haven't seen it from this team consistently enough, and I don't know why that would change suddenly.
Yeah, I do think that Trace Jackson Davis in for another just massive year. This guy is absolutely tremendous, and you do wind up losing Race Thompson, but I still think that that front court going to be able to do a relatively solid job, but it all comes back to shooting. They wound up bringing in some transfers last year, like Parker Stewart. And Parker Stewart, he's back at UT Martin at this point. So that tells you how that wound up working out. Mm-hmm. And it just don't necessarily have a lot of it. So I do think that it's going to be interesting to take a look at them. And then I just still take a look at Illinois. And I'm very impressed by what they wound up doing this offseason. As we do, Brian Ralph of HXCBB joining me on the podcast, bringing in Matthew Meyer. I think that that's really good. And I think that they've got the sort of coach that is going to be able to utilize this team to their true potential. Because I take a look at Brad Underwood. Coming into Illinois, he always ran a little bit more of a pressure style, was always looking to get a bunch of steals. When Kofi Coburn came in, he realized that that style was not working out, so he slowed things down, ran things a lot more through the low post, just like Kofi Coburn, get his 10 to 11 rebounds per game. Now it's a little bit of a different core. Obviously, they won't be able to play the same way that they have been able to last few years with Coburn, but I take a look at Brad Underwood and just being able to adjust to the guys that he's got on the roster, and he's got a relatively talented roster, especially with TJ Shannon coming in as well, and I think that he's the one coach out there in the Big Ten that's the most malleable and the most willing to be able to make it work with regards to personnel that he's got in.
That's a great point, because he did really have to change his philosophy and the way he had been coaching throughout really his coaching career when he got Kofi Coburn. And Coburn is the kind of player that will make you change your coaching style to get him because of how dominant he was. But to your point, you can't necessarily play that pressing kind of style the way Brad Underwood wanted to play with him in the fold. They tried that a little bit his freshman year and were not as effective. And then we saw them switch to a little bit more of a half-court game these last 2 years. They'll be different to watch. I think they'll be a little bit more exciting because I do think they'll bring that pressure. And I think that plays in to the roster that he's built, some of the transfers that he's brought in. But again, I think their success is going to come with those guys making leaps offensively. For all of Underwood's success, it's really come on the defensive end and getting his guys to play hard defensively. He's got enough offense. He's had enough shooting. It's a bit of a question mark this year. Point guard's also a question mark. You have Sky Clark coming in there, freshman who highly regarded. We think he'll be good, but again, just don't know with freshmen the kind of impact that they're going to have. So there are still some question marks with the Illinois team, which is why I think they're so intriguing, because the talent is there and you can see it all breaking positively and them winning the Big Ten and being this really, really exciting, very good team. But you could also see it breaking the other way and where they are not as good and maybe creep close to that bubble conversation. So that they'll be an intriguing team I'm watching this season for sure.
Yep, it is going to be a lot of question marks with many of these teams coming into the season, and that's what makes it so much fun. It feels like we're going to have a lot of battles up there at the top with regards to a lot of these better teams, with Gonzaga, Houston, North Carolina. List goes on and on of teams that are going to be competing for number one. Teams competing for the top 25 is going to be wide. Who should be number one out there in the Big Ten, the Pac-12, on and on, all these conferences. Feels like it's as tight as ever, and I know that you guys over there at HXCBB are going to be trying to take a look at all this, doing your projections for the upcoming season. And Brian, I know that you're doing some absolutely tremendous work over there. Let the good people at home know what's all on tap for you and how people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at braouf33. It's BRAUF33. HeCheckCBB.com. We're going through a way too early preview series for every conference. I'm just kind of doing a quick deep dive into the early projections for each conference. Again, not all rosters are settled, so we'll be revamping these and going back over them as we get closer to the season. But we're taking a look right now at each conference, how teams project to finish out in our projected standings, sleeper teams that might surprise, breakout players to watch, really everything. You lay the table, get everything kind of set for the preseason, anything you want in terms of that regard, getting you ready for the upcoming season. It's still a couple months away, but I think it's closer than we all realize. Information you can find up on HeCheckCBB.com.
Brian and company doing an absolutely tremendous job over there at HeCheckCBB, getting us all set for the upcoming season. And I mean, there certainly is a lot of question marks, but that's why we're diving into them right now, because the season is going to be here before we know it, and championships that are won during February, March, into April, they're won right now for a lot of these teams with hitting the transfer portal, being able to gain some chemistry, and Brian doing an absolutely amazing job of being able to project forward. So big thanks to Brian Rolfe of HXCBB for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you a little bit of a roundup as to everything that we saw in college basketball on Thursday.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation,
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eatsmuse, and now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. It is always great to get one of our good friends, Brian Rolf of HXCBB, on the show. Kai brings it every single time he winds up joining this podcast, and did so once again today, as all those gentlemen over there at HXCBB, they're doing great work. It's an honor to get any of them on, and today it was our good friend Brian. So big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you a little bit of a roundup as to everything that we've seen in college basketball over the last 24 hours. Really going to be the last 48 hours as well, since I wound up having the interview with John Fanta yesterday. But that said, we really didn't get a lot yesterday. We wound up having a couple guys from the non-D1 level go up to the D1 level and vice versa. We're going to be hitting upon those in a few minutes. But we did wind up seeing a pair of guys from Tennessee decide to transfer elsewhere. Justin Boom Boom Powell has decided that he is going to be going to Washington State. And Hanjay Tamba, he was at Tennessee, he has decided that he is going to be going to Weber State. With Tamba, he did not wind up seeing the floor at all. So this is very easy for you guys with that regard. But projecting him forward, a little bit more of a true post player. And with Weber State, they wound up having Randy Ray decide that he is going to be stepping down from his post with Weber State. They wound up promoting from within. So got to figure that Weber State might be in a little bit of a new look situation. He was the number 299 prospect in the class of 2022, and a guy that, with regards to the state of Tennessee, he was in the top 10 with regards to just their statewide rankings, according to 24/7 Sports. So a relatively solid get there. Not a guy that I think is going to put up like double-digit numbers with regards to rebounds or anything like that, but someone that I think will be able to warrant quite a few minutes over there at Tennessee, possibly have a little bit of a similar role to what we wound up seeing out of Dante Bassett the last few seasons. Then you take a look at Justin Powell and that concussion that he wound up suffering while he was still at Auburn. You can tell that it's really taken a lot out of him, because in a 10-game sample size at Auburn, this guy was absolutely amazing. 11.5 points, 6.5 boards, 4.5 assists, was shooting from three-point range right around 44% as a 6'6" combo player. This last season at Tennessee, he just couldn't really find his footing. Right around 3.5 points per contest, I was very disappointed by what he wound up doing, especially towards the back half of the season. He wound up in the last 12 games averaging less than a point per contest. He wound up having a couple moments of brilliance towards the beginning part of the season, but he just wasn't necessarily a fit with Tennessee. I'm not sure what it was, but going over there to Washington State, a team in which they wind up losing Tyrell Ghost Roberts, a team that they really do embrace sort of that nerdball style, I do think that this is going to be a relatively solid fit for him. He should be able to see quite a few minutes immediately for a Washington State team that they're going to look to climb into Pac-12 that we laid it out with our good friend Brian Roth. Not a lot of moves have been made by Pac-12 teams, so this is actually pretty solid for Washington State, a team that I'm actually a little bit bullish on coming into the season as well. Victor Hurt, he was at Florida International last season. He decided that he is going to be going to Southern Miss. Southern Miss a little bit gutted, as Waylon Napper, he wound up deciding to transfer out during the offseason. But with Southern Miss, I think that this is going to be an intriguing team, and that they wound up cleaning a little bit of house during the offseason. It's a team that they just needed a little bit of a new look in general. This team has not really been able to get wins ever since Donnie Tindall wound up leaving the program. And you take a look at Southern Miss, and they wound up bringing in Victor Hart, someone who didn't do a lot at Florida International, but better than what they wound up having on the roster. You wind up bringing in the two guys from Mercer and Felipe Haas and Neftali Alvarez. When these guys are healthy, firing all cylinders, Alvarez is able to give you 4+ assists per game. Felipe Haas is a 6'9" combo player that's able to give you 6+ rebounds. He's able to shoot threes. Austin Crowley comes in from Ole Miss. All of a sudden, you're looking at something with Southern Miss. It's not good enough to be like a NCAA tournament contender or anything like that, but I think that this is a team that, with regards to off seasons, they've had one of the more underrated ones. I think that they're really starting to build something and build something halfway decent. So I commend what Southern Miss has been able to do. This is another gift for them. This is a little bit more of a depth piece, in my opinion, of Victor Hart. But take a look at the Southern Miss offseason, and it's been relatively solid for them. So a lot of credit where I feel like it is due for them. Anthony Swift, he has decided that he is going to be swiftly leaving where he was at Southern Utah. Wound up playing as many minutes as myself last season. 6'6" combo player that actually comes out from the lovely city of Las Vegas, Nevada. Not necessarily a guy that was overly highly touted or anything like that. You take a look at 24/7 Sports, and they didn't necessarily have the world's highest grade on him, so going to be interesting to see if he winds up landing elsewhere. But he did wind up having a couple of places that were in on him, including, I think, DePaul was actually taking a look at him. So clearly there were a few teams that they saw a little bit of promise with him. We shall wait and see what winds up happening there. You wound up seeing Logan McLaughlin. He decided that he is going to be going down to the non-D1 level after he was at Abilene Christian this last season, and Saw some halfway decent minutes with Abilene Christian, wound up putting up right around 3.5 points per contest. Shot 35% from three-point range as a gentleman from the great state of Texas has just decided that he is going to be going down to the 91 level. A little bit of a depth blow for an Abilene Christian team that they really do rely upon having as many guys as humanly possible, just doing a great job of being able to run that, I guess you call it amoeba zone, but that's a very easy for a handicap. All you need to know is that Mr. McLaughlin, he was at the D1 level last season. He is no longer at the D1 level. Cross them off your name of guys that you need to evaluate, and then you are able to move on. This is a nice kid for Buffalo as John Nevius Smith. He was last season at Seton. He has decided that he is going to be going over to Buffalo, better known as Joe Smith. So if you're not able to find Joe Nevius, it's because he typically winds up going as Joe Smith, but just someone that just did not wind up seeing the floor whatsoever. He wound up seeing right around 2 minutes per contest last season. He just could not wind up finding his footing. But at Buffalo, where they wind up losing Josh Umbala, they need someone to be able to fill in down low. This is someone that stands right in the neighborhood, about 6'9". And take a look at him. According to 24/7 Sports, he was someone with a little bit of fanfare, not necessarily a guy that they thought was going to be doing a ton with regards to being at Seton Hall. But with that said, someone who's relatively athletic should be able to go into Buffalo, see a couple minutes, help this team out down low, as Buffalo, one of the more up-tempo teams in all of college basketball. Seton Hall, they were not necessarily super quick. They weren't necessarily super slow. So I do think that he's going to be able to fit in with regards to that style. You wound up seeing Raekwon Taylor. He was at UT Rio Grande Valley this last season. He decided that he is going to be going down to Tallahassee Community College. That's actually one of the better JUCO schools out there in all of college basketball, but a little bit surprising that he didn't land with a D1 school. I mean, he wound up having 16 starts last season. 6.5 points, led the team with 6.3 rebounds per game. Not a guy that's a combo player by any stretch of the imagination at 6'9". Attempted a couple threes, didn't wind up going too well for him, but a guy that's able to give you 6 rebounds per game out there in the whack. I thought that there would be a couple more teams that would be in on him. As that could be the case, once again, very easy for your handicap. You will certainly take that, but a little bit surprising to see Raekwon Taylor not wind up landing with a D1 school. De'Aaron Tucker, he was at Indiana State this last season. He is going to Cal State Northridge. And Cal State Northridge is going to be very intriguing for this upcoming season. As for Tucker, he wound up beginning his career over at Oregon State. 6'10", 240-pound gentleman that just could not really find his footing with Oregon State. Did wind up making a couple starts with them, but I mean, that was really to be more of the guy that wound up jumping for the jump ball at the beginning of the game this last season while he was out there in the Missouri Valley Conference. 2.5 points, right around 3 rebounds per game. He's able to be a capable rebounder. He once again has some relatively solid size. And for the CSUN team, I mean, they just need anyone whatsoever that's able to hit the glass. They were absolutely terrible with that respect last season. They wound up having a really bad interim coaching regime. So that was not necessarily ideal for all parties because, well, when you wind up adding in there a big giant knucklehead like Mark Godfrey, you sort of get what you deserve. And, I mean, they added in there Todd Licklider with regards to their assistant coaching position. So I don't know how much upward momentum we are going to be able to see with this team. But that said, I do think that when it comes down to it, Trent Johnson is going to be able to do a little bit of a better job now, knowing that he actually has a role with CSUN. So moving forward, I do think that it's a CSUN team that should be able to see a little bit of progression, but clearly a team that is going to be looking to go a little bit more slow as well. Michael Barber, he was at Alabama State this last season. He is going to be staying within the conference. He is going to be going to Mississippi Valley State, and Mississippi Valley State, not been going too well for them in recent years, but they did wind up making a little bit of coaching change during the offseason as George Ivory winds up taking over. Ivory wound up having a little bit of a monochrome of success when it came to the SWAC, and well, he's not Lindsey Hunter, so you're able to say that about him. Ivory spent for many, many years his time over there at Arkansas Pine Bluff before the 2021-22 season, so he's going to be looking to turn that thing around with Barber. Wound up putting up right around 2.5 points, 2.5 rebounds per game last season, began his career. Howard couldn't wind up finding his footing really at either of those schools, but 6'9", 225-pound gentleman that should be able to utilize his frame out there in the SWAC. Brent Davis, he last season was playing for the Citadel, and he has decided that he is going to be going to Chicago State, and Chicago State has actually made moves with regards to the transfer portal, and I like the way that things are forming. Now, They don't have a conference as of right now. They wound up petitioning to try to join the MEAC because they're leaving the WEC, and I think that as of right now is not really materialized. We shall see what winds up happening throughout the entirety of the summer, because that could be something that winds up getting done last minute. But that said, they wind up bringing in a guy that, for his career at the Citadel, shot right around 33% from three, was able to put up in his 2 years right around 5 points per contest. And you take a look at Chicago State, and they brought in two former top 100 guys. Elijah Weaver, who wound up beginning his career at USC, was at Dayton, one of the better defensive schools in all of college basketball. I take a look at what you've been able to get out of this entire coaching staff, and I've actually been very impressed. They wound up, on top of that, bringing in a guy that was over there at Samford in Wesley Cardett Jr. He's a top 100 recruit as well. I'm not going to go out there and say that they had like a dream year last year or anything like that, but if you saw Chicago State being able to pull off 7 straight up wins, including one against New Mexico State, a team that made the round of 32 in the NCAA tournament, you should call that a big giant success. I didn't wind up having 7 wins for Gerald Gillian and company, so you give them a little bit of credit. They're starting to build something, and now all of a sudden talent starting to come to Chicago State, so very good signs there. You wound up having Mayon Reith. He was at San Diego last season. He has decided that he is going to be going out to the junior college level. He is going to be playing for Southern Plains College. I do really like what you've been able to get out of Steve Lavin. He's done a good job of being able to bring in some talent to San Diego. Brought in a pair of former double-figure scorers from the Pac-12 and Jaden Dallaire, along with Eric Williams Jr. So he's been able to do a solid job there in Riath. He just wound up being one of the victims of everything that wound up going down. Only wound up averaging right around 1 point per contest. There just really wasn't a lot for him moving forward. But there is something for Cedric Henderson Jr. apparently at the Power 5 level. Last year he was at Campbell. He was a former All-Big South performer, as he wound up putting up last season 14 points, 5.5 boards, shot 38% from three as a 6'6", a little bit of a combo player. He's going into an Arizona program that they just need a little bit more depth in general. We were talking about it with our good friend Brian Rolfe. The fact that you wind up losing Dallin Terry, that's an issue. And he's got a similar build to Dallin Terry. He's right around 6'6". Once again, a do a little bit of everything guy when he's out there at the Big South level. So I do think that's going to be helpful for this team. They're going to need their freshman to be able to step up. Adama Ball, who wound up seeing some minutes out there in the Pac-12 tournament, he's going to need to team up with Pele Larson along with Kira Carissa. These guys are going to be very big for their backcourt, losing Christian Coloco down low. That is going to be tough, but you do bring back Azulis Sabalas. I think that Arizona is still going to be able to have a solid season out there in the Pac-12. I just think that this is a case in which I think that the Pac-12 is going to be down in general. And also out there in the Power 5 level, Patrick Emelin. He last season was at St. Francis. He was able to put up 12.5 points per game. He has decided that he is going to be going to Maryland. I don't know how he's going to be able to do at a little bit of a higher level of basketball. Wound up actually beginning his career at Western Michigan, and he mostly rode the bench when I was at Western Michigan last season out there in the NEC. 12.5 points, 6.2 rebounds per game. Not a guy that was necessarily prolific with regards to his 3-point shooting. Has a little bit of size, hovering right around 6'6". A little bit of a combo player there, but been interesting to see what Maryland has done this offseason. They obviously wound up bringing in Kevin Willard after they wound up parting ways with Mr. Mark Turgeon during the season itself. They wound up bringing in Donald Carey, which I do like that pickup. They bring in Jabari Young as well, who he comes in from Charlotte, was Mr. Do-It-All over there at Charlotte. Emelin, I think, is going to be someone that he's going to need to do a solid job on the glass out there in a Big Ten that it is known for size. It is really known for these big guys that get after you, and I don't know if he's necessarily going to be a fit there. I think that it could be a little bit of a down year here for Maryland. Personally, I think that Willard is an okay coach. I think that he's far from a great coach, and this is just one of those ads that, unless it's just really an ancillary depth piece, I don't think that it's going to make too much of an impact for Maryland. And if Emelin is seeing major minutes for Maryland, Maryland's probably in trouble. The goal of us on this podcast is to be up at all times. That's why we're getting set for the upcoming college basketball season. Within the next 48 hours, should have another conference preview coming your way. I'm looking at doing the America East. We have pulled out the heavy artillery on that one. So if you're looking forward to that and you like what you're hearing on this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and tune in. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one or two ways to be able to further listen. First one is my Twitter timeline at GNet_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, naming does not matter. So as per usual, please send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Big thanks once again to one of our good friends, Brian Ralph, over there at EHXCBB, doing incredible work there. And I'll be coming at you guys every single day throughout the college basketball season, looking at news and notes and previews, and then in-season picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. So appreciate you guys joining me today, and I'll chat at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Everybody, welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.